ABC Radio Canberra. Streaming now at abc.net.au/Canberra.
I just want to share a story because it's an unusual story. I've never seen or heard anything like this, and we're trying to find our way through it. We've hit points at times where I thought we can't make it past this point.
It's been said that Lucy equals N equals 1, which means that there's no one quite like her. Lucy has autism, attention deficit disorder, and some chromosomal abnormalities. This means that when she gets frustrated and confused, it can be dangerous for her and for everyone around her, especially her parents.
You know, some people say, oh, why don't you just let her be Lucy? That's just the way she is. And I have to say, then I cannot live with her. I can't keep her safe at home. What do I do?
I asked Lucy's parents, scientist Uli Troitsch and science communicator Patrick Heelan, about how she goes interacting with others outside of her family.
So Lucy really likes getting to know new people. She's actually very social. So when you hear autism, often you think somebody who's just happy by themselves. Yeah. Lucy loves to talk to people, especially to adults. She likes to tell them all about what she knows and she wants to know about them. So she forms real proper relationships with adults.
Allergies, if you have any allergies.
She knows everybody's allergies. Yeah, and wants to know what pets they have. And so she's really keenly interested in people. But there's just always this point where it all flips when she gets so distressed that people need to keep distance to her for their own safety. And yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes it comes out of the blue. And it doesn't happen just to us. It happens to a nice lady in the taxi rank when we were waiting for a cab at the end of a very long trip.
Our last trip, so kind, we did.
She was so kind to Lucy and showed her pictures on her phone and got kind of sucked into that, and Lucy nailed her.
You've said that Lucy can and often does get violent, and you obviously want that behavior to stop. But I wonder how much of your parenting involves accepting Lucy and accepting that there are things about her that probably can't be changed or fixed, if that's the right word.
Yeah, I'm still hoping we can help her because I think, you know, that's the scientist in me. I look at our bodies like a machine that hopefully we can look after. And if there's anything wrong with it, maybe we can fix it to some extent. And with Lucy's condition, we're at a point where science is not quite there yet.
From what I know about advocacy around autism, there's an argument that we should respect or even celebrate people's neurodiversity, the fact that people think and look at the world in different ways. But there are obviously limits too, I suppose Lucy limits.
I totally agree with that there's a lot of people out there who are neurodiverse, and I think that's perfectly fantastic. In Lucy's case, she might have other underlying conditions that actually mean that she cannot function in society. Nobody can approach her safely at the moment that has not been specifically trained. And so that's a really difficult thing to accept, where I'm still hoping maybe we can help her with her behaviors and the underlying physiological condition so that she can actually socialize with people safely.
And Pat, what's your thinking on autism and neurodiversity?
There are so many people with autism out there that are so important to society. And we don't want to just label Lucy with autism because we think she's actually, as it's turning out on genetic databases and everything else, she is incredibly unique. And the autism is a label that might not be the best one for Lucy, but it does explain quickly to a lot of people that there's going to be some different behaviors.
Yeah.
And I think that that neurodiversity is important. And I think it's really cool when I see a school come into Questacon, for instance, and the teacher will come down and say, do you have any headphones? Because I've got a couple of kids who just are a little bit sensitive to the sound. And in my day, if I would have gone into school and said, hey, I need headphones, I would have just been ridiculed forever. And so this is changing. And the accepting of these kids with their classmates is actually really good in a lot of ways. There are just some, and there always are going to be some people who don't fit.
Yeah, and with Lucy, the genetic tests we've done, it has been flagged that she potentially could be a candidate who might get schizophrenia later in life. So I think she's in the space of mental illness, which is not Asperger's, where you're very good at focusing on certain things. Yeah. It is actually really impacting on her on a very different level, where she will probably need medication for the rest of her life.
And all of that said, though, the science is moving incredibly quickly into finding more and more about the brain. And as soon as they find out more, they know we know less about the brain and what are the things that cause this stuff. And we live in such a cool time right now.
On ABC Radio Canberra, this is Kim Hoon chatting to Uli Troitsch and Patrick Heelan about the science and wonder of caring for their 9-year-old daughter Lucy, who has a range of special needs. I asked about some of the advances in medical science that have made Lucy's life and their lives better.
The medical advancements that are happening right now are things like, it cost us $150. We got a cheek swab of Lucy, got her DNA, sent it into a lab, and they came back with how she metabolizes due to her genetic structure, her medications, and certain things that
everybody... Yeah, so it's a test that's now available that used to cost $4,000, $5,000 only a few years back. And now, because of the advances in genetic sequencing, is $150 at your pharmacy, cheek swab, off you go. And that's very helpful if you need to adjust doses, for example. What was important for us here was that we found out, because Lucy has always been a terrible sleeper from when she was a baby, she would wake up every hour for years, and we started to hallucinate, and it was really quite traumatic.
Hallucinate, I like
yes.
that.
Yes. And we finally figured out it must have had to do with browned foods, anything that's been grilled, fried, or baked. She would even wake up when she smells bushfires. It was ridiculous. Whereas if you just feed her steamed foods, rice paper rolls, that kind of thing, she sleeps
a
lot better. And we're sleeping 10, 11 hours a night, and it is just bliss.
Oh, that's awesome. Uli and Patrick, you know so much about Lucy's genetics, about her brain and her mind and her body. What of yourselves do you see in Lucy?
My entire side of the gene pool has been blamed. No.
I don't even, actually, are our kids exactly a 50-50 split of our genes? Do you know that?
I think
chromosomally, we...
I think it should be, but it depends on if it's the so-called DNA that doesn't count because it's just trash
junk DNA,
or if it's the things that actually matter. But we know for sure that Lucy's GRN1 modification is actually a spontaneous modification, which means it happened.
Yeah, we had ourselves tested.
Because we were tested ourselves to see whether we could blame mom or dad for this, but we can't. What was the question again?
How much of yourself do you see in Lucy?
Oh, I see your enthusiasm in her, the raising the arms and saying, oh, wow, this is fantastic. That's what I see in her from you. And that's fantastic because Lucy looks a little bit like Dad. And when they're together and looking at slime or something, I can see that.
Pat, do you see anything of Yuli?
I see there's an analytical side to Lucy. That there's a look. Other people describe it as the owl look. And she does have a really excellent memory. And I think that that's also something from you. And she...
Oh, you flatter me.
I do.
I think we have an equal stubbornness, Lucy and I.
I was going to go there, but I'm glad you did.
That.
Yes, there is a
stubborn... We dig in our heels, Lucy and I.
What's the future hold for you, for Lucy and for your family?
You know, we won't be able for much longer to be able to restrain her when she tries to run in the road, when she tries to get to somebody for the wrong reasons. And yeah, I started to look around and then I was met with this wall of, oh my God, you don't want to put your daughter in an institution. I say, of course I don't want to, but I can't keep her safe at home. What do I do? We are now finally getting the support to make it through the week and the next month, but I'm not sure if we'll make it at home with Lucy until she's 18 and there is nowhere for her to go. How do we deal with this? You know, some people say, oh, why don't you just let her be Lucy? That's just the way she is. And I have to say then I cannot live with her.
Yeah.
And she cannot live with us safely.
She can't.
It is not safe for her. It's not safe for us. And and I don't want that.
ABC Radio Canberra. Streaming now at abc.net.au/Canberra.